Hello, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Richard Haler. I work in the Raspberry Pi Foundation and I'm in charge of all our youth programmes. The Raspberry Pi Foundation, if you don't know, we're a global charity based in the UK and our mission is to enable young people to realise their full potential through the power of computed and digital technologies. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the fun and challenges involved of sending programmes to the International Space Station to enable young people to take photos of Earth. Just a bit of housekeeping before we start. AstroPi, which is the educational program I'm going to be talking about, is a collaboration between the Raspberry Pi Foundation and the European Space Agency. At the Foundation, we don't have any aerospace engineers, so without the wonderful help from our friends at ESA, none of what you see today would be possible. And also a heads up, there will be an opportunity to take part in a sort of interactive quiz during this talk. You'll need a phone or a laptop, and by visiting URLs like the one on the screen, you'll be able to have a guess at where some of the photos were taken from. I did sort of test this out with a couple of teenage layabouts in my house to ask them for some like endorsement quotes, and here's what they said. I think both those comments are quite fair, actually. Now we've got that sorted out, let's begin. If you were at EMF 2 years ago and came to my talk, you may know some of this, but just here's a quick recap for those of you not familiar with the program or its history. Let's start with the International Space Station. I sometimes get a bit blasé because I sort of deal with it all the time, but it is a huge achievement. Orbiting our planet at a breathtaking 17,500 miles an hour, this is an outpost of science and exploration and international collaboration. And it's a place where astronauts from around the world live and carry out experiments in microgravity. And of course, as any returning astronaut will tell you, and as we're going to see today, the views are amazing. The AstroPi Challenge is a free annual educational program that gives young people from across Europe the opportunity to write computer programs which are run on the two AstroPi computers on board the International Space Station. Those programs can be quite simple. If you're taking part in Mission Zero, and you can see on this flight unit here, some of the pixel art that this year's entrants have sent up to space to be seen by the astronauts. Those are quite simple programs. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, you can enter Mission Space Lab, where this year's task was to try and calculate in real time the velocity of the International Space Station using any of the cameras and other sensory data. So what kind of hardware? Well, in this photo, you can see the original Mark I AstroPi hardware, and I've got a replica flight unit here. The two that were sent to the space station were affectionately known as Ed and Izzy, and they first went up with Tim Peake. They were in operation on the space station until 2022, and they came back down to Earth the same year. Where are they now? Well, if you want to see Izzy, that flight unit is now on permanent display in the Engineers Gallery of the London Science Museum. And it's in the display case with James Watt's kettle, Charles Babbage's automaton doll, the first ever RepRap 3D printer, and a Lego robot. So quite some prestigious company there. What about Ed? Well, Ed is on display at the European Space Agency headquarters in the Netherlands. And when I visited there earlier this year, I was slightly surprised to find it in a case randomly with a photo featuring a really ancient photo of my son. So perhaps not quite such prestigious company. Right, back to the space station. So here's a NASA drawing of how Earth observation photography used to work with that old hardware. One of the flight units would be deployed in what is called an Adir window, viewing window, and you can see it here on this artist's impression. You can see there's a circular hatch there and a folding flap that goes over the top to prevent light reflections. And here's a photo of the Izzy flight unit in that node window. And here's one of the pictures taken by Izzy from Mission Space Lab team from Spain. Now, as I said, we can make this a bit interactive, hopefully. So here's the first opportunity to have a guess at where some of these photos have come from. Hopefully this one won't be too difficult, but if you've got a phone or a laptop, if you pop to that URL, rpf.io/APGO1, you should be able to drop a pin on there. Here's a quick little demo of how that works. So go to that URL. You should load a map. If you're on a mobile device, the menu you need to use that's shown here on the web view is under the little hamburger, you know, the three lines on the right-hand side. So go on there, add pin, click it on, and then if you want to, you could give it a nickname or put your name on there just so we know who's put which pin where. Okay, and while you're doing that, here's a little bit more about this photo. And one thing to note is it was taken with a near-infrared sensitive camera. And that also has a blue filter on it. You probably can't see unless you're right at the front, but there's a blue filter over the camera there. And that's why the sea looks like it's a really uniform blue, and the land is kind of lacking any of the colour, any of the red or green colours you normally expect to see if you've seen photos from space before. And I'll explain a bit more about why we take near-infrared photos a bit later on. Okay, so where was that picture of? Hopefully you all got that one. I reckon the centre of the frame is about where we are now, at EMF in Eastnor. Let's just have a quick look and see if we've got anyone who's actually put any pins on the map, or whether that's worked. Here we go. Just have a look at that. Ooh, did no one put a pin on? Is this not working? I don't know, let's have a refresh. Maybe am I too low? Can I scroll down? Oh yeah, we got all the pins on there. Look, brilliant. You all know your geography really well. Nice, got a nice spread of pins there, lovely. Great, thank you for testing that for me. There'll be a few more to have a go at later. Let me just jump back into my slides. Hang on a second. I need my notes, otherwise I'll get lost. Cool. Okay. Jump back. Jumping out of these slides is annoying. Anyway, yeah, back to the story. So in 21-22, we had some changes. We sent up some new hardware to replace Ed and Izzy. They had the latest Raspberry Pi at the time, the Raspberry Pi 4. And they also had high-quality cameras and a version 2 SenseHat. Just a quick exploded view of what's inside the hardware. There you can see the Raspberry Pi with the SenseHat on top. And of particular importance is that high-quality camera, because for the first time that enabled us to use real optical lenses, which meant we could get much better quality photos. And the other thing we changed is that we allowed people to take photos using the visible light camera and not just the near-infrared camera, which had been possible up until then. Which meant we got lovely photos like this for the first time, able to see all the beautiful visible light colours of Earth, like this one here of the island of Vanuatu. However, not everything was perfect. And here there was a small problem with the near-infrared sensitive photography. Another change with the Mark II hardware was that instead of using a blue filter, we actually used a red one, which is why the colours in this photo look a bit different from the ones that we saw of the UK earlier. So the black-brown area, that's Lake Huron in North America. And this time the landmass and the vegetation is that kind of cyan component. But perhaps you can see in the middle of that picture, there's some concentric circles there. Now that's actually a reflection of the filter, the red filter that sits inside the lenses there. And although it didn't turn up in all the pictures that we saw, particularly when there was lots of bright light coming into the lens, we saw this effect and also that vignetted effect, the kind of halo around the edge of it there. But as I say, it wasn't in all the pictures and it didn't spoil things completely, but it was an irritation for teams who were trying to do real-time processing, recognising features in the photos. They had to contend with this sort of ghosty image at the start of it. Why did that happen? Well, first of all, I'm really pleased that this gives me an opportunity to show one of my favourite photos, or rather artist representations from NASA. So what this photo to me shows is an astronaut who, I don't know, perhaps due to the effects of microgravity, is having some real problems with his backside. And maybe because of those problems, he's been encased in a blob of jelly. I'm not sure. So many questions. Anyway, that's not the important bit, though. The important bit is this bit at the top. We just zoom in on that. You can see the face that the flight unit sits up against is actually an internal window, and then the outside of the space station is further away. If you look at this thing I'm indicating with the red line, there's a significant thickness there. So there's a circular window at one end and a circular window at the other. So essentially it's like looking down a tunnel. And when we tested these things in the Earth, which was actually by pointing them out of my bedroom window at home, because this was all during the pandemic, we hadn't seen any of these reflective effects. But when we simulated the tunnel effect with some bits of cardboard from the Amazon boxes, we were able, when the sun was shining really brightly, to get those reflections. So great, we kind of understood why it was happening, but what could we do about it? And the other thing to say is that the reason you were seeing these reflections is because although I called it a red filter, it isn't actually a red colour. The surface of it is shiny. It's called a red filter because it's actually a dual bandpass filter. So it passes two wavelengths of light only, the red light and the near infrared. And actually, I've got one here. Let's see if this all, I don't know how this is going to be in here. If I, I've got one of the filters here, so it looks shiny and silver, but you can see if I shine some light through it, is that showing up red? Can anyone see that kind of thing? Yeah, so it's coming through red. So it only passes red light there. Turn my torch off. Okay. So we knew what the problem was, but what could we do about it? These things are in space. Getting astronauts to do experiments for us is really time-consuming, unlikely. We weren't sure we'd have an option to get around it. But through talking to our friends at ESA, we've been, after a while, trying to find another window to deploy our AstroPis in to do space photography. And because we were having these reflections, we finally got authorization to use WOLF. Sorry, not that WOLF. The Window Observational Research Facility. This is a special observation area in the International Space Station. The window there is like 50 centimetres in diameter, and it's actually made up of a number of panes of glass, which you can kind of, I think, see in that photo there. There's different layers there. There's an outside layer that can be replaced with the spacewalk if it gets damaged, and then several other layers that keep the space station pressurised. But you can see it doesn't have that thickness and it doesn't have that tunnel effect. So for the experiment, the year we've just had, for the first time we were able to deploy our AstroPis in those windows, which meant, here's a picture of what that would look like, another artist's impression, and here are those flight units actually in there. And here is another picture from there. So for the first time, we were seeing full frame pictures from space. Beautiful colors there with the visible light picture. Here's another opportunity to have a guess, rpf.io/apgo2. I think this is a lot trickier than the first one, but maybe the colours give it away a bit. You've got some reddy coloured landmass and some sort of azure tropical water stuff going on there. Has everyone had a go? Let's have a look just to see if you got it right. This is actually the Woolloonga Nature Reserve off the coast of Western Australia. I think the red landmass there gave that away. So if you got a pin dropped on there, well done. That was a tricky one. And here's another one to have a go at. This one here, again, it's a visible light photo. So the yellow colours, the sandy colours, are what you would actually see with the visible, with your eye if you were looking at it there. Clearly, this is a region without a lot of greenery on there. And while you're doing that, if you go to rpf.io/apgo3, while you're doing that, just going to draw your attention to some other features of this photo, which is these dirty marks. There's some black smudges in the photos, which we thought might be something on our lens or maybe even on the sensor inside it. But we did check, and actually these are grubby marks on the WOLF window in there. And actually, if you're a fan of the band The English Teacher, they've got a song out at the moment called Not Everybody Gets to Go to Space. And some of the lyrics in that are, because if everybody went to space, nobody would do any cleaning. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing here. Anyway, where in the world is this picture of? If you look at it that way round, that's the way you would normally see it on a map. And that is actually Dubai and the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. So well done if you got a good pin dropped in there. Finally, here's a third one, a bit easier one here. Again, I'm showing this picture, A, because it's a lovely picture of a really famous place on Earth that hopefully people will get, but also because you can see, in addition to those grubby marks in the right-hand side, there's also what looks like a snail trail on it. I don't think they have snails on the ISS unless they're there for that tomato they lost a few weeks ago. But anyway, the windows are definitely dirty. Hopefully this one should be familiar to you all. There we go. Yeah, the very famous boot of Italy. And the other thing, of course, you may have been wondering was, well, the visible light photos always look great. Did the move to WOLF fix those annoying reflections that we had? And the short answer is yes. The near infrared camera photos are now probably even clearer and sharper than ever. Like this photo of the Lesser Sundai Islands in the south of Indonesia. Having said that though, the move to Wharf, as ever, with all the things we find on the International Space Station, did come with some other unexpected challenges. But because that window is a lot thinner than the big hatchway before, and because I mentioned the outside pane can be replaced, but it requires an astronaut to go on a spacewalk, they also have another shutter that can, at random points, close over the window. So this team got this surprising set of photos in their images there, with the shutter closing off, I think at this time because there was another vehicle operating near the ISS, so they needed to close the window to protect it. And of course, at the moment you've all been waiting for the photo bombing by the Canada robot arm, which bobs around outside the space station doing kind of space station-y things, and that appeared in a number of teams' photos. I don't think the teams were too disappointed though, because it's quite a cool set of imagery there, including the picture I showed at the start, which is the Canada arm photo bombing another lovely picture of the UK. This picture, obviously, as you can see by the cyan colour, was taken with a near-infrared camera, and I promised I'd explain a bit about why we use near-infrared photography. And that's because near-infrared photography lets us calculate a thing called NDVI, the Normalized Difference Vegetation Index, which can be used to compare how healthy plants are. Basically, the amount of near-infrared light that a plant reflects determines how healthy it is. So if your plant's green, it will reflect more of the near-infrared light and less of the visible red light. If it's a brown leaf, then that will reflect much less near-infrared and a lot more of the red light. Anyone still hear me? I can barely see myself. That's kind of noisy, right? Okay. Anyway, you can calculate an NDVI ratio as shown on there. Here's an example. These weren't taken from AstroPies, but these are pictures from the International Space Station of Northern Europe, taken in June. And because it's June, we've just had springtime, and all the plants are in full growth, so they're very green, and you can see here lots of healthy plants. If I skip forward to a photo taken in October, it's the end of the growing season, the start of autumn, and the plants are much less healthy. And you can see here through the NDVI, it gives an indication of how healthy those plants are. And many teams use that as part of their experiments. Here's another AstroPie GeoGuessr option here, rpf.io/apgo5. And while you're looking at that, to give you a clue, because this is a near-infrared light photo, here is one of those colour heat maps overlaid in real time. And the team that wrote this experiment actually did this in real time there. One thing to notice, this colour map is inverted from those pictures of the UK. So in this photo, the red and pink areas are the healthiest plants, and the yellow and green are the less healthy ones. And just to overlay more photos, there's a visible light view of the same area. And as a final overlay, here's the same picture taken by the Mark 1 hardware. It just gives you a sense of how much difference the new hardware has made in terms of giving you a much bigger area of the Earth that you can see with these photos. And where's this one? This here is the western coast of Africa, Senegal, and the pokey bit you saw there was Dakar. So if you got that right, again, well done. Having both the visible light and the near-infrared cameras deployed at the same time means we can do some nice comparisons. And here you've got a really nice picture of the coast of California, that's Baja there. And on the right-hand side of the frame, you can see a load of clouds hugging the coastline. And there's a near-infrared picture overlaid as well. Again, you can see which areas correspond to the greenery and the luscious areas of growth. And finally, you can stick multiple frames together. I quite like this because it shows you just how fast the ISS is moving. These photos were taken about 5 seconds apart, and you see it takes about 7 to cover such large an area. And so our final GeoGuessr round, where do you think this is? rpf.io/apgo6. I think we should be all getting quite good at doing this now. Hopefully you'll have worked out this was the Red Sea, very distinctive shape there. If you want to see more photos taken from space, you can go to the Raspberry Pi Flickr. Just Google Raspberry Pi Flickr, and there's lots of albums on there full of photos taken as part of Mission Space Lab over the years. And finally, just to talk a bit about the impact we have through the AstroPi program. Well, this year we had over 26,000 young people who were able to participate in AstroPi, either by creating pixel art images to be shown to the astronauts or Mission Space Lab programs. So that means a total of young people who have been able to take part in this free to enter challenge since 2016 is over 137,000 people. AstroPi has finished for this year. It's not running, but it will be back in September. So if you're interested in taking part, you can go to astropi.org. If unfortunately you're over the age of 19, you won't be able to take part directly yourself. But just like EMF, AstroPi relies entirely on volunteers who help young people and mentor them through their creating and writing their experiments. So again, if you'd like to take part as a mentor, you could head along to your local school and volunteer there to run an AstroPi session with the young people there. And you can email, as you can see there, inquiries@astropi.org. And that's all for me. Thank you very much.